Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to all of our listeners. You are now tuned in to Facing Your Fears radio talk show, hosted by yours truly, Dr. Norma Chapman. Today we have another exciting episode prepared for you. As always, let's bow our heads for our opening prayer. Father God, we thank you for giving us another great opportunity to be heard in radio land. Father God, we come thanking you for this opportunity that we may have, that we may help someone that have a bowed down head on today. I have issues, Father God, and in situation that they don't know what to do. Maybe something that can be said on today's show can help them, Father God, to overcome whatever situation or environment that they're in. We give you the glory and we give you the honor. And all that we do and say will be acceptable in thy sight, and you may get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, listeners, on today, we have our special guest, none other than Mr. Daniel King. And our topic today will be domestic violence and the mistreatment of majorities in the schools, also in our society, the society that we're living in today. And as we go forth on today, we pray that some ways that that we'll be discussing how we can help the children, the young adults, and also the adults to overcome domestic violence and be able to help them to not get connected in that type of environment. If they're living in that type of environment, maybe something can be shared on today that can help them realize that there is help at the end of today, at the end of the day, that they can find help. I'll be bringing my guest into the studio with me at this time. He'll give you a small, short bio about himself, and then we'll be getting straight into the subject, domestic violence and the mistreatment of majorities in the schools and society. But remember, listeners, you too can join in just by pressing that number one on your phone if you have any questions, comments, or just want to share your thoughts and experience on today's topic. Good afternoon, Mr. King. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Evangelist. How are you doing today?
I am great on today. It's a pleasure having you. I'm excited having you on the show on today. Give us a short bio about yourself. And afterwards, you may begin your presentation.
Well, first of all, thank you for inviting me, Evangelist. My name is Dariel King. I'm from New Orleans, born and raised. I am a member of the NAACP. I am the community liaison for the Alpha Lawless High School Alumni Association. I am also a community advocate. I'm also a part-time volunteer for the NOPD Homeless Assistance. I come from a single mother that raised five boys. She taught us how to live. She taught us how to fight. And she taught us to be able to help people. And most importantly, she taught us how to love people within the love of God.
All right, Mr. King, there you have it, listeners. You may begin your presentation on today. Today we'll be discussing domestic violence and it's mistreated, how it's mistreated and not taught enough in our schools. Our guests will be sharing some of those ways that we can end the mistreatment of the majority in our schools as well as in our society. We as parents, teachers, educators, pastors, and citizens, we should be more grateful. We should have be more effective in helping put a stop to this terrible, troubled, deadly crime. We are all living in an environment that it will take the majority of people to be more interested in helping to educate our young people before the problem started. Now I will turn you over to our guest, Mr. King. Mr. King, you may begin giving the story.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, domestic violence within the minority communities at a rampant pace right now. We need to be able to find a way to teach our young people that violence is not the answer. We need to find a way where we can teach them ways to handle stress and humility and inequalities with issues on life. As I was looking through some stuff, it shows that pretty much, you know, our black women, as of 2020, it says pretty much more than 40% of the black women have experienced partner physical violence, intimate partner sexual violence, and or intimate partner stalking in their lifetime. It's a form of narcissism, a way to control people through wit, has some kind of equality, and there's something not right about them. So they take it out on their loved one, their partner, or their brother, because domestic violence can happen in anything, family, home, relationships. Even as friends, you can be have a domestic violence situation. We have to find a way to be able to communicate. Our black people in America, we have been through enough to go through racism, to be seen. We have to find a way to come together where we can cut this violent streak out and find a way to be able to live in peace and harmony. When it comes to the schools aren't trying to help with the situation or even teach the situation, because to them, it's just a little black boy and a little black girl. We've already fighting the from school to the jail situation that we have, that we're facing right now. Schools are hiding history, black history, and in order for our minority children, our black children, pride, we have to start teaching them the real history on where our people have come from, what our people have went through, and where we're trying to go at this point in life. And it's just not black women that's getting abused in the domestic violence situation. It's also a great number of black men that get violated in domestic violence. It just go unreported because of the fear and the stigma of you call the police and you tell the police that this lady beat you up. A police officer, nine times out of ten, won't take a black man that serious, and there's nothing done. So we have to find a way to be able to reach out. There's many avenues. If you have a pastor, go speak to your pastor. There's hotlines, and I'll provide those later at closer to the end of the show. To become great, you must have to go through something. But domestic violence is not the situation, and it's not the answer. I'm sorry. My mother raised five boys, and it was stressful. But one thing my mother always taught us was that we have to be respectful, to love everybody, and we was taught to worship God, and we was also taught that you can't just because you have an issue, you can't project that your issue on someone else. You have to find a way to deal with it. Point in case, I used to have a little anger issue in my younger days, and it was because of some things in my past. But once I got help with my situation, I grew. I grew now to a point that my mother is very proud of the man that I am today. So what I want to tell the listeners today is keep the faith, hold on, be strong, don't be afraid to ask for help, because somebody will help you. We got to survive, we must achieve.
All right. Mr. King, let me help you out here, if I may. Get some parts on domestic violence. And we all know that love is not abused, and abuse is not love. So you're being abused by someone that's not love. A lot of people do take for granted that they make sure that their partner loves them by showing actions of hitting them or disrespecting them in any kind of way. But domestic violence is a pattern of coercive or different controlling behaviors. Is used to gain power and control over another person. Abuse can be verbal. It can be emotional, psychological, financial, sexual, or physical. Domestic violence is not. We having some type of issue in the background here. Listeners, I don't know where it's coming from, but in a little while we hope that it does cease so you can be able to hear what I am saying here. Domestic violence is not for anyone to isolate you, individual events, but it's a series of controlling and manipulation behavior, and it's used to control the victim. Domestic violence usually escalates over time and can result in serious injuries or death. We hear a lot about the father abusing a man abusing the woman or in a relationship where the woman is getting the partner kills the woman or the man. Now you're looking at another series of domestic violence where the mothers are taking their children's life, a baby's life, or their daughter's life. Just the other day they had on the news, not too far from New Orleans, the lady killed her daughter and then killed herself. This is the type of domestic violence situations that we must stay away from. We must try and control, keep from being in a controlled environment such as domestic violence. And let's talk about the threats and intimidations, threatening to harm the victim, the children, the family, the members, and pets. They even manipulate you into, if you're in love with a cat, a kitten, or a dog, and they know you love it, they would abuse that animal just to manipulate you and to have control you to do what they want you to do. Also using physical size to intimidate you. In other words, if you're a very small person, they may be bigger than you are, and they'll use that muscle control to control you. Or you can be a big person, and they can intimidate you by talking about your weight or how you look and stuff like that. That is a no-no. That's threats of intimidation. In other words, they're threatening you. They're intimidating you, using or keeping weapons and threatening to use them. And they have a gun, or they may go get a knife. If you don't do this, I'm going to do this or that. All of that is threats and intimidation. Abusing trust means lying to you. Your abuser will lie to you, tell you all manners of lies just to control you. Also, breaking promises. They will break promises to you. I promise you I'll never hit you again. I promise you can go to school next a couple of months from now, but you don't need to go to school now or get a job now because we can handle this or that. Those promises they will give to you, but they will soon take it back. So their intentions are not for you to be happy or content. Their intentions are to control you, to keep you in their fear, to keep you thinking that everything is all right when in fact it's not. So let's talk about the economic control, not paying bills. They'll get the lights cut off, or you have children in the house. They know you can't live without lights. They know I'm not going to pay the rent. Or they won't pay the rent to threaten you. Or don't buy food. It's anything that they can control, and the victim plays into their hands, they will continue to use that type of controllers. Not allowing the victim to learn the skills. They don't want you to go to school. They want you to stay depending on what they can do for you. These are some of the things that check out that you can put on your checklist for domestic violence and the forms of abuse, abusive situations. Harassment, they're following or stalking you. Embarrassing the victim in public. You know, if you're somewhere where your friends are, or they may invite their friends over, they embarrass you in front of them, or make it seem as if you're nobody, or just do things to intimidate you and make you feel small, and when in fact that you're not. You are somebody. You can learn skills. You can be a better person than what the abusers are saying or what the abuser might tell you that you are not. And in spite of it all, you can become that beautiful young man or that beautiful young lady that God wants you to be. And God did not make man to abuse woman and did not make woman to abuse man, but to love one another and to and in bringing, multiplying and in bringing your children into the world. You don't want your children to come into the world being afraid. And a lot of family lives that way today. The children are afraid. They take this type of, I'm gonna give it back to you, Mr. King. They take this type of fear and they bring it to school. And they bring that same controlness that they see that their father have over their mother or their mother have over their father, they bring this type of personality to school. Then they become controlling in the school, talking to a young lady or a young man, they use that same technique, thinking this is the way that they should live, when in fact it's not the right environment that no one would want to live in. And Mr. King, you can come in at any time as we continue to talk about don't believe them. So, you know, there's different things you should believe and what you shouldn't believe. You know, you shouldn't believe domestic violence does not affect many people. Yes, it does. Domestic violence is believed to be the most common but less reported crime in the United States. As Mr. King said a few minutes ago, you may call the police, you may be a man. You may be a bigger man than your little your partner, and then they may not take it seriously. When in fact,
that's right,
it doesn't matter about size that you are. It doesn't matter about who big or who little. It's the most aggressive one that has the control in the household. That's what that's about. Domestic violence is only a physical abuse. No, it's not. Domestic physical abuse is only a part of a larger pattern. It also includes psychological, emotional, sexual, and or economic abuse. Those are some of the situations that we find that goes on daily in our society. It could be our neighbor next door. You never know. It could be someone in your family, or it could be your own children that's being abused by their boyfriends or girlfriends. If they don't come home and talk about it with the parents, how would you know that your child is being subject to such environment? We must be able to our environment. We must be able to share with others. And this subject should constantly, constantly comes up in the churches, in our schools, in our universities. We should be able to teach more and more about this deadly sick crime. Mr. King, we do have a caller, and I'd like to bring the callers in because I wouldn't want to get late in the show and we're not able to let them express them.
Yes,
caller, 612, last four digits, 6103. Arrow code 612, last four digits of your phone number is 6103. Hello, caller, you're now live.
Yes, good afternoon, you guys. How are you doing today?
Good evening.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate that.
You're more than welcome.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about, like, the current situation with education in America in general, which is that instead of teaching things of actual value to children, whether it's how to conduct themselves, how they treat one another, about life in general, financial literacy, different programs actually help children be in a position to be able to be successful in life. Instead, what we see now in schools is a lot of the LGBT, gender fluidity, all type of matters of the confusion that are being the main focus being taught to children. And it just seems that there's more of an agenda that's designed to indoctrinate children into a certain set of ideas rather than things that actually benefit them as they grow up and get older.
I definitely agree with you on that. The way society has set it up these days, it's not to make the minority grow and go ahead. It's a way to keep that separation, if you understand what I'm trying to say. The society is not a unit no more. It's about separation. And everything that society is doing, from government to some families, is all about separation. And using the LGBTQ, that's just another form of blinding the minority families of what's really going on. Because the way society feels is, if they keep throwing stuff at the minority community, we're not going to be paying attention to what's really going on in America. And then they're going to be able to get away with whatever they want.
Yeah, it felt like a general society demoralization going on.
What is some of the ways that the educators can address in society, in the school system? I'm talking to the caller that called in. Can you suggest some things that can make a difference in the school system?
Yeah, I think from a policy standpoint, the number one thing we would need to have passed would be school choice, by far. And school choice benefits, you know, minority and lower-income families the most, because it's what it directly does is it takes low-income families that can't afford to send their children to private schools. It would take the federal funding that they would otherwise get for the public school. That funding would then be given to the parent as a voucher that would go towards paying the tuition for the child to go to a private school. So, for example, if you have a child in elementary school, on average, the combination of the federal and state funding, you get about $8,000 to $10,000 per year for elementary age students. For high school age students, it ranges up to $10,000 to $12,000, sometimes $14,000 a year, depending on what state you're in. And so with school choice, if we had that as a policy, what would happen is you would take that money, and that would then cover your child's tuition to go to a private school. And so, I mean, just basic logic would make you realize that that would benefit low-income families more than anyone, because they're the ones that oftentimes can't afford to send their children to a private school and are often forced to send their children to poor public schools, where there's not only do they get poor education, bad teachers, but they also get the negative influences that exist in some of these inner-city public schools that often pull younger children into lives of crime and all types of self-destructive behavior that exists. And so you'd have to ask yourself the question of why is this policy not the law of the land? And then when you study that, you find out that the Democrats have made a decision that they are going to side with the teachers' unions over lower-income parents, because the teachers' unions do not want school choice. Because the teachers' unions know if school choice is made the law, almost everybody and their mom is taking their kids out of public school and sending them to a private school immediately. They know that if people are given the choice, vast majority of parents are taking their kids out of public school. They know that. And if that happens, the teacher unions are going to lose a lot of money. And so because the teacher unions give the Democratic Party millions of dollars every year, the Democrats decided we're going to choose the interests of the teacher unions over the interests over minority and lower-income families. That's it. That's the flat-out reality.
I have a question.
And so, go ahead, man. Sorry.
You think that domestic violence does not exist in private school, or domestic violence based on how much money that a family has? I disagree with that, because domestic
violence.
That's
not the point I'm making.
But you're saying that money from the government can be distributed to parents if they can afford to send their kids to private schools versus being in public schools. But what I'm saying in reference to that is that doesn't matter what school you go to. or how much money that a family has. Domestic violence, it doesn't matter. Some of the richest of people have died at the hands of
I'm not talking about domestic violence. I'm talking about quality of education for our young children, which is the most important issue right now.
Right, but this is what this episode today is in reference to, domestic violence and the mistreatment of the majority in the school. So we're talking about domestic violence. We're not, I think you're talking about more money that can be given to the poor families that can help educate their children. I think this is what you're talking about. But I'm saying, how would, if say, for instance, just pathetically saying, hypothetically, that if I'm rich and my neighbor is poor, but I have domestic violence going on more in my home, and the neighbor next door that's poor got love and harmony going on in their home. But what I'm trying to emphasize on is, how can we as citizens, as educators, as pastors, as citizens, can help educate our children in reference to domestic violence before the problem begins? Because
okay, so
home,
that's a personal issue that you can't necessarily address that on a large scale. Think about it. If you have a child, I have children. I'm assuming you got children. If you have a young daughter, for example, that's in, let's say she's in high school and she's dating, the onus is on you as the parent, number one, to determine whether or not your daughter should be dating at that age. Number two, who she's with. And number three, if she's in an abusive relationship. That comes down to the parent. If you as a parent aren't on top of that, that's on you. That's you failed as a parent. That's
well,
no way you're going to turn around and try to put that onto the state. That's ridiculous.
I disagree with that for the simple fact.
I have been in many talk shows in reference to college students, and they have been the dean of the university. That child was involved in an abusive situation. That the parents cannot control that. They don't know that their son or their daughter in that type of environment. This is what we're trying to educate the parents and getting involved in learning those signs, those warning signs, that they may be able to recognize in their daughter or their son, and they can say, well, is it possible that my child could be involved in that type of environment? A lot of times the parents are going through the same thing at home. They're living in the type of environment. And that children grew up in that type of environment. How we can break that cycle is what I'm interested in. And being able to bring it to more openly so that they can face their fears and come from behind the mask and talk about the situation to be able to help, in other words, break the cycle. Some families go from generation to generation being the father or their mother, the children were brought up in a domestic violence environment, and they bring it from generation to generation. Now, the question is, how could we stop it? How could we break that cycle? That's what I want to talk about, breaking the cycle of domestic violence. And then, like I said in the beginning of the show, when they're living in an environment at home, these children are bitter. So when they go to school, they bring this anger with them to school. Or when they get big enough so to start dating, then they feel that this is the environment that I lived in. They're not, this is what they begin to issue out in their life. And this is what the cycle that I'm talking about, what we as citizens can do to bring light to more education, to be for parents and our community to be more educated on notice and on recognizing all of the warning signs that come with domestic violence. I want to thank you for calling on today, and it's getting late into the show, and we really do appreciate you calling in. And I did take some notes on what you were saying, but I think that if you would come back in to come and be a guest on the show, that's a whole other topic we can talk about. and maybe we can get people to see, to understand how the government is affecting the children in school by not putting the type of funds there that should be issued out to the school system. Am I correct? Is this what you're saying?
Not necessarily the funds. I'm talking about parents being given the option and the choice to be able to take their children out of public schools. Because that, to me, is the number one issue in the Black community.
Is, today's show is about domestic violence. So would you be willing to come back
and talk about
that topic where the listeners can understand what you're saying and we can stick to that topic without jumping from domestic violence to what you're talking about? And if I would take, what is your name? I want to take your number off the screen and I'll call you and I'll set up where you can come on the show and discuss it, because I do think that's an important subject as well.
Yeah, yes, ma'am, definitely.
Would you like
appreciate
to
it. Thank
first
you for your
name?
Time. Yeah,
what
my
is your
name
is
Mike.
Name? Mike, okay, Mike, I will call you and we will set up a time, a Thursday, where you can come on the show and we can address that topic, because that is an important topic as well, okay? All right, now we're going to go back to our guest for today, Mr. King, and he were a part of the conversation just now. But, Mr. King, I needed to find out from you, are some of the ways, before we end the show today, what are some of the ways that you would encourage our listeners on today? Mr. King, are you still in the studio? Mr. King, are you still in the studio?
I'm here. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm here. I'm still in the studio. Okay. Let me, if you can entertain me for a couple more seconds. Let's do the signs. I went and I found the site for you. The hotline for domestic violence. And it's the common signs of abusive behavior in a partner. Which is because you tell me that you never do anything right, trying to see you all said,
you're not coming in clearly. I can't hear you at all. What are you saying?
You can. All right, can you hear me?
Pardon?
Are you able to hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay. I went and I went to the national hotline for domestic violence. So I pulled up some of the triggers and some of the signs of domestic violence, telling you that you never do anything right, showing extreme jealousy of your friends or time spent away from them, preventing or discouraging you from spending time with friends, family members, or peers, insulting, demeaning, or shaming you, especially in front of other people, which are all that you say, controlling finances, as you said. Those are all the signs of domestic violence. And if we
that's what happens in a domestic violence. That's exactly what goes on in a domestic violence environment. Someone is living in a domestic, I am a domestic violence survivor. Mr. King, I had no warning sign. I had no warning sign that my partner would shoot me, stab me, and then take his own life. There was no warning sign there, but there are warning signs out there. And there's a warning sign that they can connect to and be able to recognize before a deadly situation is happening.
You're right.
You understand what I'm saying?
And domestic violence comes in so many forms.
The main thing is calling the hotline is to get help if you're living in that environment, to get help how you can survive such environment by leaving that environment and calling a hotline, which is 1-800-799-7233, if you're living in that environment. They can connect you with the people and the type of services that can help you break away from that type of environment and stay away.
If you did
a study on domestic violence, it takes 7 times for a domestic violence victim to leave before they actually stay gone. And there are times when they leave, they're afraid to stay gone because they're afraid their partner will kill them in some instances that have happened already. They're afraid. Because if you leave me, I'm going to kill you. If you leave me, I'm going to kill the children. And we have read over and over again about these situations happening. Read it out back there.
And I came across something else, too, Evangelist, from Corbin Place. And it just simply says, mm-hmm. by intentionally denying black people access to economic opportunity, the ability to build intergenerational wealth, health care, education, and a sense of safety from governmental assistance, racial policies increase the prevalence of risk factors for domestic violence. It also goes to say that there's a lack of trust due to all the things we're seeing now and what we've seen over the years. White survivors are treated different than black survivors. Black women also don't necessarily want to turn to an abusive partner into the law enforcement because you send them to jail, they go get them right back out. And it's an evident
decision. That's not true. If you go to jail, you cannot get out on domestic violence.
That's right.
The state takes it on. I drop a case on domestic violence. It used to be
years ago,
victims can put their abusers in jail and they can go drop charges and they get out. But they cannot do that now. As a matter of fact, if the police come to your house and there isn't a domestic violence situation going on in the house, and the aggressive one, and if their wife is aggressive, then they take both of them to jail now.
You're right. They do lie. They will lie just so that person won't go to jail because they're not.
No,
they're
I
so
said
afraid.
Lies. So many lies.
Oh,
not lies.
Okay.
So many lies has been taken through the by the hand of users.
Just to bring this up also, Evangelist, I also see where it says. These systems create numerous barriers for survivors seeking safety. Law enforcement officials often arrest black survivors, and police, jurors, and judges are less likely to believe the black survivors than white survivors. Racist systems put black people at greater risk of experiencing intimate partner violence. That's also another reason why they don't want to leave or they call the police. Because the judge won't.
In my study, domestic violence and its impact on our community, domestic violence costs more than $37 million a year in law enforcement and environment, legal work, medical and mental health treatment, and also productiveness within the companies. Right, so.
Yes,
when
ma'am.
You're dealing with depression, sleep disorder, anxiety, flashbacks, and other emotional distress, and important, and then your health is involved. With many survivors, they contribute to bad, to poor health, and all manners of disease they can get, and it becomes more serious due to domestic violence. So one thing I'm saying is what I'm trying to reach out is I'm not too take nobody to school because it takes more than an hour to teach domestic violence. But to bring awareness to people that so they can be able to share it with their family and friends. You see what I'm saying? So, like every year there's more than 3 million children witness domestic violence in their homes. Over 3 million now. This year, statistic was taken a couple of years ago. So just imagine more than 3 years ago. So just imagine during the pandemic how many millions of children are experiencing that type of environment since the pandemic broke out. We know that money is for to pay their bills, jobs, some people have lost their jobs. So we can just think on, think about how many children men and women is living in that type of environment due to stress. Not that they were living in it before. Okay, whether they're in private school or whether they're in public school. Domestic violence don't
domestic
have
violence
no
reaches a, that's right. Domestic violence has no it reaches everybody.
It can reach anyone. You just can't just say that because they're in a public school versus a private school that there's no domestic violence. That's not true. Domestic violence does not have no particular person that it may be involved with. You know, it doesn't have whether you're black, whether you're white, Creole, Mexican, or whatever you are. Domestic violence don't care.
It doesn't.
You understand? It's like an alcoholic. When they become an alcoholic, they don't care what type of liquor they get. They may love whiskey, but if they get beer, they're happy with beer. If they get wine, they're happy with wine. If they can't get scotch, they're happy with Hennessy, whatever. That's just how domestic violence is. It's an addiction,
exactly.
as a sick, deadly crime that needs to be addressed more than just in the month of October during Domestic Violence Awareness Month. It needs to be discussed year round.
And here's the question: that's one of the problems at hand. The society wants to just say October is Domestic Violence Month. What's a month when domestic violence happens 365 days a year?
All right, listeners. We have been discussing domestic violence and the mistreatment of majorities in our schools and our society. And again, that domestic violence hotline is 1-888-411-1333, or you can call your local law enforcement and just report the crime. And maybe what I'm concerned about is getting out of that type of environment. If you tell your neighbor, go talk to somebody, and if they talk to you about it, help them to get away from that abuser. Help them to escape such environment. And that's what my heart goes out to, the ones who feel that they have no way out. There is a way out of domestic violence. And there are people that, such as myself, that cares about the environment you live in. My heart goes out to you, and I know that there's many others. Family Services, you can reach out to Family Services. You can reach out to some of your city officials. There are places that they can bring you safely to where you will be safe. Then you can be able to get a job, be able to get an education, and your children can live in a better environment than what they're living in. And I want to thank our guests on today for coming in,
Thank you for inviting me.
And discussing the mistreatment of the majority of the schools. Now, there's a lot of things that we can do. Parents, go to school. Go to have meetings with the principal, have meetings with the counselors there at school, talk to the teachers, try and see what type of friends that your children is hanging around. We live in perilous times and the devil is busy. The main thing is getting connected with God, getting a relationship God. In relationship with God, he will lead us. And lean not to your own understanding, but God will direct your path in the right path that you should go. And when you're not in a relationship, talking to the parents now and help and encouraging your children to go to Sunday school, Bible classes, and going to church and learn about God, then the devil is taking control of your whole life. Your whole life is being destroyed by Satan. So the main thing Vantage Chapman is trying to say is that stay watchful, prayerful. Come from behind the mess. Don't be ashamed to tell nobody that you live in an environment such as domestic violence. There are people that's willing to help, but they don't know unless you let them know. There are sometimes abusers will not hit you in your face and give you a black eye or a big jaw, knock your teeth out. Sometimes they hit you in places where it will not show. You know, some abusers will not allow their victims to sit on the steps. And we're talking about men as well as women. We talk about boys as well as girls. As I said earlier, that happening every day in our universities, our colleges, in our high school. As a matter of fact, it's happening in elementary school and middle school. So you see, so it starts from a baby. You know, it starts with learning how to treat your wife and your husband. And the husband and the wife, the parents learn how to treat their children. And if we can live
yes,
a godly life like that, the way that the God wants us to live, then we can escape such subjects as domestic violence. All right, Mr. King, you have now, you can give your closing remarks on the topic for today and all this month we will be discussing domestic violence. And we will have more guests come on talking about bullying, how they bully you and does all manner of evils to you. And we have some more special guests coming on city officials. Election time is coming, and they want to encourage you encourage you as well as give you some background on what their visions are to bring the city of New Orleans to a better help New Orleans to become better, especially in our youth crime. There's another subject right there. The youth are getting out of hand with crime. You know, I mean,
that's right.
There's just so much going on with our young children today that the devil is just taking their lives. And if we look at that, we know that prayers is needed in all of our communities and our states and cities. Mr. King, your closing statement, please.
I just want to let everybody know you're not alone who that has been through domestic violence, and they're not peer counselors. Please reach out. If there's not anyone you can talk to, go to your pastor. Go to your best friend. Go to your mom. Go to your mother. And most importantly, I'm going to ask you just to continue to pray for a better situation, because God is always the answer to all things. All things go through Christ. As it says, the Bible verse says, refrain from the anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, but tend only to evil. But you, O Lord, are God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. My mother taught me this so long ago about temper and how to treat everyone, and I thank my mother for that. I think she's probably listening, so I always tell everybody, I was not the perfect child, but my mother is very proud of the man that I became today. And that was only because of the grace of God and a praying mother and a praying grandmother. So please, if you're in a domestic violence relationship, find a way out. Ask for help. Someone would help you. All you got to do is just hold on. Be strong. It's only a test. Thank you so much.
God bless you. Listen, we're so happy that you're calling on today. Some listeners, they did not hear the whole conversation, but I want to invite Mr. Mike back for a topic on getting funds for our families so they can be able to give their children a better education, and they can make a decision on what type of schools that they want their children to go to, which is a whole nother subject. But we will be having them on Facing Your Fears to discuss that, because I find that to be a very interesting subject as well. We want to thank all of you for calling in on today. Thank my special guest, Mr. King, and hopefully something that was said on today you can bring to your churches, to your community, to your family and friends, and let it be a discussion. Sometimes we're just having a lunch with someone or invited over to the house. Sometimes talk about domestic violence and the danger that it brings to our society. God bless all of you, and God keep you. And this time we're going to have our closing prayer, and then Mr. King is going to give you information how to contact him, and you can always contact me at norma_chapman@yahoo.com, or visit my Facebook page, Facing Your Fears, What Faith Can Do page, as well as To Be Friends in Christ page. And you can always get me under Norma Chapman on my regular Facebook page. God bless you, and God keep all of you. And Mr. King, give your information before I bring this closing prayer.
Yes, ma'am. You can reach me at Darryl King, DarrielKing, 2002 at gmail.com. Or you can reach me on Facebook at Darryl, DarrielKing. I have no problem to help to stop what I'm doing and take the time out to help a fellow person. All you got to do is ask, God, and I'll be there.
God bless you. Father God, we thank you for the show on today, Father God. And we pray that, Father God, that someone out there was listening, Father God, that can be a help to them, Father God, that we can be able to make this world a better world where we live in, Father God, because we need you, Father God. We're living in some perilous times, and Father God, there's no way around it. There's trouble on every hand. But we know, as being your children, you said that you will not leave us nor will you desert us, Father God, that we can call on you and you would answer our prayers, Father God. And what you want us to do is be obedient to your word, Father God. Learn how to love one another. Learn how to communicate with one another. In this world, Father God, that we're living in today will be a better world. And as we continue going, I will walk in your life, and you're the leader in our life, Father. We pray that you continue to bless our children. Continue, Father God, to build a fence around them as they go to and fro from school, Father. We ask that,
yes,
Father,
Lord
God, that you give them the wisdom and knowledge, and above all, understanding, that they should know who you are and let their lives be connected to you, Father God. And we know that everything will be all right. But, oh, Father God, as we leave this radio show today, we don't want to forget those that are on ventilators and those that are sick and afflicted, Father God. We pray that you heal them in the mighty name of Jesus. Someone may have lost a loved one and have a bowed down head. We know that, Father God, that you, Father God, is the answer, Father God. And you can, Father God, you can give them, Father God, the comfort that they need, Father God. All they have to do is look to the hills on today, which cometh to help. All of our help, not just some of our help, but all of our help comes from you, dear God. And, oh, Father God, we want to just thank you for being who you are on today. Father God, an awesome God, Father God, you brought us all from a mighty, mighty long way. Looking back over our life as we were struggling through the pandemic, some of us are still here today, that we can testify of your goodness, Father God. Continue to shine wisdom in our life, understanding and knowledge of how you want us to lead your people during these last days, Father God. And we give you the glory, the honor, and we give you all of the praises, Father God. Most of all, that someone would come running saying, what must I do to be saved? And they would give their lives to you, Father God. You make it for glory out of all that we do and say. And this is my prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. Listen until next week, next Thursday, 4:30 to 5:30. We'll be right here at Facing Your Fears Radio talk show with none other, your host, none other than Dr. Norma Chapman, with a new guest on next week. God bless you, and thank you for tuning in. I want to thank you, Mr. King. I enjoyed you on today. Goodbye. This is our show.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Thank you.
You're welcome, dear. All right.
And be well. Be blessed.
All right.